Hello and welcome live from Tehran. You've tuned into Press TV's news analysis. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Well, oppression continues in the Bahraini government. Saudi-backed brutal crackdown on protesters seeking freedom in this Persian Gulf country now again calls for a change in the monarchy governing the nation. Were met with tear gas arrests and more court dates. More than a year and a half into the revolution, the cries of the demonstrators continue to fall on deaf ears of the monarchy and their Western supporters.
Bahraini regime forces marching through the streets of the capital as Manama is planning to escalate its crackdown on pro-democracy protests. You mercenaries, that's how this young protester addresses regime forces as they're drawing closer. And this is how they respond to the angry shouts of protesters. Bahrain's Interior Ministry says it's taken legal action against the opposition Al-Wafaq, accusing it of organizing, quote, unauthorized protest rallies. This comes as the West's mainstream media is being criticized for the way it's covering Bahrain. The American news channel CNN has made a documentary on the Bahraini revolution. The film was aired for Americans living in the US, but not by CNN International. Reports have it, a top official from the Bahraini media regulator held talks with CNN officials to stop them from airing the film. Bahrain's King Hamad has also met with the US ambassador to Manama over security cooperation. The small Persian Gulf kingdom is home to the US's Fifth Fleet. Washington and its Western allies have largely remained silent on the crackdown on Bahrain's popular uprising, which began in mid-February 2011. The crackdown has left large numbers of people dead. Many have been jailed and tortured in custody, while thousands of others, including physicians and nurses, have lost their jobs for treating the injured or supporting the revolution.
Well, I'd like to welcome our guest to the program from London, from the Bahrain Freedom Movement, Dr. Saeed Shahabi. From Beirut, expert on Persian Gulf affairs, Fuad Ibrahim. And from New York, political and military expert Michael Burns. Thank you all for being with us. Well, I'd like to start this off in London with Dr. Shahabi. Dr. Shahabi, it appears that the crackdown is getting more harsh without the regime even worrying about its image or repercussions. Why are we seeing what appears to be an escalation of harsh treatment against demonstrators?
Thank you very much, and of course I welcome the other guests as well. But let me first say that the regime has no option but to crack down, because it can either democratize itself, reform itself, or become harsher. It cannot remain where it was. So I think because they are unable to democratize themselves or to reform their system, or to adapt to the new challenges and the new situation in the region. So the only thing that is open to an already terrorist regime is to crack down harsher, especially with the support that it is receiving from America, from the United States, especially from Britain, the security arrangements with Britain, and also the military backup by the Saudis. So they are emboldened to stand against the wishes of the people. They fear nothing, because they think that America will always support them. However, they are wrong in thinking so, because the people's demands are there. They want the regime to go, and there is no way that this regime will go easily. So we are likely to see an intensification of attacks, intensification of repression, as we have seen in the past two, three days, how they attacked the peaceful demonstration in Manama and in other villages and towns. And also, we have seen how they reconfirmed the harsh sentences of the military court. Of course, we believe that whether it is military or civilian court, the decision is political from the dictator downwards. So we are waiting for more escalation. because the people have no stomach to just to have more of this repression and this dictatorial regime. This regime has failed to all its duties, and consequently, the people are fed up and they are continuing their daily protests everywhere, unabated, and without fear of this repression that isn't intensifying, but at the same time, the people are becoming more emboldened, more courageous, and more determined.
Okay. Well, Mr. Ibrahim, where does that leave the situation in general? As Dr. Shahabi has said, that the protests are escalating. On the one hand, the demonstrators have reached a point of no return, and on the other hand, we see an escalation of the repression. So something has to give. What do you think at this point has to happen to change the balance now?
Well, we are now in front of a situation now which the regime insists to continue using violence against peaceful protesters, and the people insist that they will continue protesting for their own, for their legitimate rights. On the other hand, we see the support of United States to this oppressive regime with the backup of the Saudi regime. I think this vicious cycle will not continue forever. So there must be a solution. There must be something to do with the ongoing crisis. The people have the right to say it and to demand for their legitimate rights, and the regime should listen to these people. And I think the West remaining silent to what's going on, to the use of violence against peaceful protesters, will not lead to a solution. In fact, it will complicate the situation, which is now is getting more and more complicated, and there is no way out, only to sit and talk about the strategic and the vital solution to what is going on.
Okay, well, let's turn to New York and get Michael Burns in on this. Now, Dr. Shahabi has said that America will not always continue their support. We have seen unabated support from the United States and from the United Kingdom for the Bahraini regime. What do you think would be the key factor in actually Washington starting to exert more pressure on the regime in Manama? Mr. Burns, can you hear me? Let me switch over. Well, let me send that question to London and Dr. Shahabi, because we're talking about how much the United States and the UK seems to be in support of what is going on in the ground. And now you said that this will not be that way forever. What do you think would be the key factors in changing what we're seeing? It appears as blind support from the United States, from the United Kingdom, for the regime in Bahrain.
I think there are a few scenarios that could take place. Number one, we can see an escalation in Saudi Arabia of the reform movement, whether in the eastern province. Only 2-3 days ago, we saw one of the largest demonstrations ever in the eastern peninsula, in Qatif and other places. We also see quite few demonstrations almost on daily basis in El Jouf, in Riyadh itself, in Medina, I saw in Al-Taif, and in Jeddah. And these demonstrations are becoming more frequent inside Saudi Arabia against the Saudi dictatorship. So this is a scenario that could also, that could put some pressure on the Americans and on the world forces to change their attitude. Secondly, the people in Bahrain have reached a point of no return, as I said earlier, and the likelihood is that there will be more escalation to the extent that the Americans will be compelled to change their track, because they have strategic implications and interests in the region, and they cannot just wait and see for a dictatorial regime to act in violation of its own BICI report. Thirdly, I think the regime itself is crumbling from within. There are dissenting voices. They feel that they have alienated even their own allies. The Americans expressed disappointment. The British also expressed disappointment at the confirmation of the military court verdicts against our group, who were sentenced to life imprisonment and other terms of jail sentences. Fourthly and lastly, I think the political turmoil in the Gulf region itself, within the GCC countries, is continuing. We see in Kuwait there is some tension. In Saudi Arabia, as I mentioned earlier, in the United Arab Emirates. So I think unless the situation in Bahrain is sorted out, it could well spill over to other countries. And this is worrying to the Americans themselves, who have always relied on those monarchies to keep the peace and tranquility. But now they have failed because they are not able to accommodate the new trends in the society, and they cannot meet the challenges and the aspirations of their young generations. So all these factors are likely, of course, this is in addition to the likelihood that more pressure from the international NGOs, human rights organizations. Los Angeles Times yesterday wrote a piece expressing surprise and disappointment, and also other media outlets. So all in all, I think I am hopeful, and there is going to be some change.
All right, well, let me get Michael Burns in on this discussion. Hopefully you can hear me and I can hear you at this point in time. Now, Mr. Burns, looking at the situation in the United States, first of all, and looking at in general what has happened in the Middle East region, what would it take for Washington to learn? It seems that they have supported repressive regime after repressive regime. Does it not expose them as far as the hypocrisy on the one hand of saying it's standing for democracy, on the other hand supporting repressive regimes? And how much longer can the United States itself afford to continue to do that?
Well, as long as the United States is on a war footing along with Israel against Iran, then any problems in those Middle East, the Emirates, like Bahrain, are simply going to be ignored as a matter of public policy by the citizenry of the U.S. as well as the government. So you combine that posture, that war footing that we are on in this country against Iran, along with the effectiveness of the Bahrain forces, the barbarism in which they address that Pearl Roundabout affair, hauling and imprisoning, torturing doctors. Why, it's a scandal. But like many scandals in the world, it's a tree falling in the woods because the noise of our war posture with Iran knocks out any dissenting voices. So I don't see much change whatsoever on behalf of England, the United States, or the Western powers as a group. We don't care about Bahrain. We don't care about these promises of democracy. We simply are ignoring them and turning up the noise level on our war footing. You can hear it in Romney's campaign promises. So I don't see much changes whatsoever.
Okay, well, Mr. Abraham, you've just heard Mr. Burns saying he doesn't think that we're going to see very much changes as far as in American foreign policy. I want to look at the region itself because we know the critical role that Saudi Arabia is playing on this, playing in this repressive crackdown. Do you think that matters can be taken in the hands of the people in the area to actually try to put more pressure on the Saudis themselves because they are the ones that are actually leading this very brutal crackdown? What will it take in order for the Saudis to get out of Bahrain, or does the ardor have to come from Washington?
Well, expanding on what my brother Shahabi just recently said, that I think the people will definitely play a central role in the and determining the future, and I think the people in Saudi Arabia or in Bahrain or in the other GCC states will definitely play a pivotal role in the coming weeks, because it is not going to remain as it was. The Saudi regime is eroding. The leading elite are dying out, and they will definitely will lead to a dramatic and essential change, and not only in Saudi Arabia and the region as a whole. And they're using Bahrain or Syria as a pretext to escape from their destiny will not change the realities. We have a new realities now in the region. The Saudi regime is dying out, and it will definitely lead to the withdrawal with their troops from Bahrain. And the democracy is a destiny, is an inescapable option for not only for Bahrain but for the whole region. So the people will definitely play the role in the coming weeks.
Okay, Michael Burns, a new reality in the region is what Mr. Ibrahim is saying. The people in the region may feel that way. What will it take for the United States to understand that this is another time in this region?
One would think that the United States would be sensitive to the people of Bahrain, Saudi, those countries that are in the frontline states facing Iran. But the fact is that this is viewed as a part of a strategic plan, and the ears are closed to that type of
Let me just jump in here. Let me jump in here, Mr. Burns, because
right
you just
now,
talked. Can you hear
United
me?
United States.
Because you just talked about it being a part of a strategic plan.
Yes, I can.
Even from a strategic perspective, would it not be better for the United States to befriend the people of the region instead of continuing to make enemies in the region? Even from a strategic, from a political perspective, wouldn't that work a little bit better for them?
Well, considering the stakes that are on the table, the Saudi oil, the buildup of a war with Iran, the fact that we have the Fifth Fleet in Bahrain, the fact that we need those governments in place to project American power, Western power, I don't think the cries of the people are going to resonate very effectively in the ears of our foreign policy apparatus, or even, may I add, the ears of the American citizen.
Okay, so you're saying it doesn't even reach the ears of the American citizens that they can actually put pressure, exert pressure on Washington?
Absolutely not, with the exception of a few very liberal Democratic congressmen who are always looking for the broken wing bird to nurse back to health. There is no effective sound from the people of those frontline the Saudi, Bahrain, and the other states, which the U.S. foreign policy apparatus looks as vital to the projection of U.S. power.
Okay, Dr. Shahabi, what does that mean for you and your people when you hear our guests in New York saying basically there's nothing even being discussed in the country, so the people can't even exert pressure on the government because the majority of them don't even realize what is going on in Bahrain? So what does it take, in your perspective now, to get the word out? And is it that perhaps the shift may be from the West and look towards more of the Eastern countries to see if these countries can actually exert pressure and trying to help the movement go forward?
Sister, it is not only America which is the only player in the region. And it has always claimed, Washington has always claimed to take the leading role in that region. Now, if it forfeited its role, if it fails to take up the challenge and to stand up to the democratic challenge, especially in the Gulf, then I think other powers will intervene. And we know that there's already a tendency by the Russians to take a leading role. They have now taken the case of Bahrain, and to the extent that they try to present it to the United Nations Security Council last month. And of course, that is something which is very worrying to the United States and Britain, who have all along thought that that region is theirs. No one else should be allowed to intervene. Now, if they fail to take up their duty and to stand against dictatorship and to support or to listen at least to the movements or pro-democracy movements, then I think they will lose out. Gradually, their influence will diminish. And at the same time, they will get the blame by people, human rights activists, some congressmen, some lobbyists for the human rights organizations. And I think this will all mount to real pressure on the administration. Yes, they are preparing for the elections, but at the same time, the cries of the martyrs in Bahrain, the shouts of those who are being tortured relentlessly, they cannot be just ignored. They will wake up the conscience of people, and I think this challenge to the American domination and hegemony in the world will either leave it with a more active, proactive role, or it may just lose out and diminish its interest, diminishing okay. in the Middle East.
All right. Well, let me give Mr. Burns the final word, since we didn't have him for the whole program. Your take on what Dr. Shahabi said. Do you think that perhaps a solution can actually be coming from more from the East now if the West is not responding in a manner that is expected?
Certainly. Yes, Russia's a big player on this front, if they can keep up that projection of power. Yes, the East does play a role. But the difficulty of speaking of this from an American perspective is we have a war footing toward Iran. We have an election coming up where the candidates are crawling all over each other to try and say what they're going to do to Iran. And those front states like Saudi and Bahrain are essential for that that strategy to be implemented. So for the time being, well into the next term, it's not an issue.
All right. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but we are out of time. I'd like to thank all of our guests, Dr. Syed Shahabi in London, Mr. Fuad Ibrahim in Beirut, and Mr. Michael Burns in New York. Thank you all for being with us. We appreciate it. And viewers, as always, we appreciate you joining us. Make sure you stay tuned. Join us same time, same place tomorrow for another look at tomorrow's top headline stories and news analysis. I'm Marzia Hashmi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much, and goodbye.